We've reached agenda item 8, giant Pacific octopus. This is a decision, and we have Craig Burley, our Fish Management Division Manager, with us to lead us through the briefing part of the item. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Commissioners, Director Anderson, Deputy Director Storr. Again, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager. And the objective here, again, is to present our draft management options that were developed through the advisory group process. And this, as Madam Chair Wecker indicated, is a commission decision. I'll go through the background process and schedule we used to get to this point, describe the current management in place, as well as the management options. I'll provide a brief summary of the comments that we received through May 31st. There'll be an opportunity for commission discussion and decision. So relative to the background of giant Pacific octopuses, they range from California to Alaska and south to Japan. They're widely distributed in depth from intertidal to as deep as 750 meters. Their size, they get quite large. They range from 40 to 100 pounds, maximum length achieving 15 feet. They're a relatively short-lived species, 3 to 5 year lifespan. Females incubate eggs for about 230 days and lay approximately 20 to 100,000 eggs at a time. Within Washington, we lack a formal status assessment, but given the biology of the species as well as the harvest management that we've observed in our waters, these all suggest or indicate that GPO, giant Pacific octopuses, are not over-harvested or are in healthy condition in Puget Sound. Just a little bit more. In Seacrest Cove, there was an incident back in October where a giant Pacific octopus was legally harvested in that area. That caused some concern from the community, the local community, as well as dive community. Director Anderson provided a briefing to the commission in November of 2012. In December, there were three petitions that were received by the commission and addressed, and the commission at that point directed staff to develop a public process and options to consider protection of giant Pacific octopuses in Puget Sound. So during that time period, we did establish an advisory group in March. There was commission briefings in April where options were then taken out to our public. There were workshops in the April time period, both in Port Townsend and Seattle. In addition to that, there were comments collected via our agency webpage from mid-April through the end of May. And at the June commission meeting, public testimony was taken on these draft options. The current management of giant Pacific octopuses in Puget Sound: there are 9 conservation areas, 16 marine preserves, and the Hood Canal, the marine catch area 12 there, shaded in the crosshatch red, are all closed to recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopus. In those areas where it is open, harvest is recreational harvest is allowed year-round. The daily limit is 1. These animals can only be harvested by hand or with an instrument that does not penetrate the body, and it is legal to retain an octopus if it's caught with hook and line gear while fishing. Our harvest data that we collect through our creel survey in Puget Sound, while not a complete accounting, estimates a very small number of these animals harvested annually, and we estimate around 50 pounds, so just a few animals at most a year. So the four options that were taken out to the public for comment are option A, which is status quo, which would be no change to the current management regulations in Puget Sound. Option B identified two areas in Puget Sound, Redondo Beach and Seacrest Park Coves 1, 2, and 3, where no recreational harvest of any species would be allowed. Option C would create seven areas in Puget Sound that would close or restrict harvest of giant Pacific octopuses in these particular sites. And then finally, option D is a proposal that would close recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopuses Puget Sound wide. So on this map, it shows the seven sites under consideration. Redondo Beach and Seacrest Cove Park 1, 2, and 3 appear in both options B and C. And in looking at these sites specifically, here's Redondo Beach in the small inset map. In the upper left-hand corner, you can see its location by the black dot in the south Puget Sound. Seacrest Park Cove 1, 2, and 3, this is near Alki. And if you'll note on this map, previously when you were briefed in April, the orange area was identified as the area for consideration. During the public process and in working with our advisors, it was determined that there is additional dive area just to the north and to the south that we are proposing to include by a modification to this site. And those are highlighted in the sort of a pink color, and they're identified as new areas added. The WAC language in your notebooks reflect these proposed changes. Three Tree Point, also in Central Sound, is identified here. Les Davis, this site, in looking at existing regulations, there's a fishing pier just to the north of the proposed site, and we saw that there was an overlap in these two designations, so the proposal that you have before you now would shorten that site slightly, and you can see that in the sort of grade crosshatch areas, rubbed area. We would just move that so that it aligned with the fishing pier buffer that's currently in regulation. Alki Beach Junkyard, again, close to Alki Point. Days Island, again, in working with our advisor group and the public, we identified a desire to slightly increase this area to extend to the end of the island, and this would make it an easier reference point for people to identify, and so again, in the pink area, the new area added. And then finally, Deception Pass. Again, you can see the sort of lighter orange color was the original area from this boundary here to the east, extending to the boundary here in the west. And then this wedge is proposed to be added here. And this was to capture this area here near Rosario Beach, which is a popular dive area. So through the May time period, the department received about 400 comments, and at that point, 14% of those comments were in support of option A, 6% in support of option B, 31% in option C, and 49% in support of option D. Some highlights of those comments or high-level summary. In support of option A, We received comments suggesting that we should maintain the status quo, that these species should be managed according to abundance and harvest levels, and that there should be some outreach to the dive community for voluntary protection. Comments opposed to this option were that some level of protection is needed, and that if rules were enacted, that they should be the same for everyone, and that there was some support for additional protection for viewing opportunities. Comments received on option B, again, the two Redondo and Seacrest Cove that had two closures to all fishing. There was some support in that there was too little known to allow directed dive fisheries in those locations, that there's a lack of protection of giant Pacific octopuses and other marine life. Those opposed to option B felt resource appeared to be in good shape and that this was too broad and not needed. Comments on option C, again, seven sites that would restrict harvest recreationally of giant Pacific octopus. There was support for protection of these animals in these popular dive sites. Opposed, some commenters felt that there were many of the most popular dives already protected with restrictions. And relative to comments on option D, those supporting felt that the octopuses really draw divers from outside our region, and this would provide some economic benefits with a full closure in Puget Sound. And those opposed talked about we already have a number of areas where these species are protected and that there was not a scientific basis for doing this. And I would mention, since the closure of the public comment period on May 31st, the commission has received a number of additional comments, and as of just the last few minutes ago, option A had received another 545 comments in support of that option, and option D had received 348 comments in support. And so with that, I would take any questions that the commission has.
Commissioner Smith.
Thanks, Greg. It was raised earlier this morning, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Has there been any study of increasing acidification on the species? I mean, is that something that, in your estimation, is an issue at this time or not an issue?
Well, I am aware that acidification is an ongoing concern, and it's a concern that we have in Puget Sound. I'm not aware of any specific studies, however, that have been directed at measuring those effects, at least currently, on giant Pacific octopuses.
So at this time, it doesn't appear to be a threat.
I'm not aware of any studies that quantified that.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Or Craig? Commissioner Mencken?
Yeah, I'd like to make a statement and a suggestion if I could.
Okay.
First of all, there's no denying that the importance of the state of Washington as a focal point for divers from all over the country and other countries. As a matter of interest, the state is fourth in the nation as a destination for divers. It's the only northern tier state that is in the top, I believe, the top 10 in the nation. So it's a really important area for divers, and I'm sure that this commission would like to see that to continue and to grow as well. So in our estimation as the Fish Committee, we felt that it was important not only to the dive community but to the economy of the state to address the GPO issue. There's probably no conservation issue associated with this decision. The population is healthy. Only less than 50 pounds are estimated to be harvested annually. It's close to commercial harvest. There's already protection in Hood Canal, which is a very large area, and in our marine conservation and marine preserves in the state. Last night, the Fish Committee met. The Fish Committee is comprised of last night Commissioners Wecker, Carpenter, Schmitten, and myself. We met to discuss the four options, and we focused in our attention on option C. And I'd like to ask Craig if he would go through what we discussed last night as a possible amendment to option C.
Thank you, Commissioner Mankin. So, commissioners should have a package in front of you that is titled Giant Pacific Octopus Option C Amended Draft Motion Language. And within that package, there are two WACs that are being considered. The first, on the second page, is WAC 220-56-310. And what the idea here was to take a look at how we could organize the WAC language to implement option C in a way that was clear and straightforward to the public and would also aid in our review that we're currently underway to make our WACs aligned and more efficient. So if you look at 220-56-310, it's titled Shellfish Daily Limits. And within that WAC, in subsection 10, it refers to octopus and identifies areas. And under this proposal, that language is stricken from this WAC. And so shellfish daily limits would no longer have any reference to octopus. If you turn the page then to WAC 220-56-390, that's if you turn, it's two pages. We've inserted language in subsection 2A. Starting in 2A, we capture the octopus daily limit as being one, which is the current rules. In section B, then we outline again how the octopus can be harvested, current rule. And if you turn the page to page 2, in subsection C, we've included the areas, continuing in C sub I, marine area 12, which is current regulation. And then starting from there forward, we capture each area that's identified in option C in the presentation that you just saw. So Redondo Beach, Three Tree Point, Malachi Beach, Seacrest Coves 1, 2, and 3, Les Davis, Malachi Beach Junkyard, Days Island, and Deception Pass. Just to also let you know, in these rules, we have also included some modifications to squid. Similarly, to maintain the regulations associated with squid, but to align them similarly to octopus, in that we are moving daily limits from 220-56-310 to 220-56-390. No changes to rules, rather just a efficiency of WAC language. And so this new, this amended language implements option C, provides protection from recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopuses in those seven areas that I just presented on the presentation.
So the new language then reads simply, it is unlawful to take octopus in the following areas, and lists those areas specifically.
That is correct, Commissioner Mankin.
So to that end, I would like to move to adopt amendments to WAC 220-56-310, shellfish daily limits, and WAC 220-56-390, squid octopus, to close recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopus in areas of Puget Sound as presented.
Okay. The motion's been made. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Carpenter to adopt amendments to WAC 220-56-310, shellfish daily limits, and WAC 220-56-390, squid octopus, to close recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopus in areas of Puget Sound as presented. Further discussion? Commissioner Smitten?
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. I support this proposal as I think it is responsive to the public input that we've had where they've expressed concerns about GPO takes in non-classified but highly used marine dive areas. This proposal, as I read it, would prohibit GPO takes in 7 new high-use marine dive areas. Plus, they complement the current 9 marine conservation no-take areas that we have, in addition to all of Hood's Canal, which is the marine fish Area 12, which is all of Hood's Canal. All these together would be closed to the take of GPO. I personally believe that in combination, they become a very significant designation dive site serving to strengthen this state's position to attract both national and international divers who have interest in seeing a GPO, and I think that therefore we offer more than any other state would have in this regard. We did get some excellent testimony this morning, and as raised already, some concerns were raised about the potential of impacts of ocean acidification on GPO and I assume other species in Puget Sound, and as well as the possibility of a consumptive fishing starting on GPO that currently is not occurring. And on the first issue, I would note, and as we've heard comments already, that the Commission must be vigilant if we were to hear of concerns with ocean acidification in Puget Sound, that we would need to take immediate action. And I would encourage us to stay alert. On the second matter, the issue of a start of a new fisheries, you know, given, if you think about it, there is no commercial fisheries currently. It's prohibited. There is no spearfishing allowed. That's prohibited. There is literally no interest by the recreational fishing in fishing on these. The current take is indicated, I think, by Commissioner Mankin, is 50 pounds, which is 2 or 3 at most for a year. I think there is very little opportunity or interest in starting up a directed fisheries. In fact, I think if it was to occur, it'd have to be from the dive interest alone. I think that's the only opportunity left. Again, we need to watch this closely. I think it is a major step. I think it will look good to national and international divers to want to seek out Washington to see their first giant Pacific octopus.
Thank you. Other comments? Discussion? We have the motion and the second in front of us now. So if anyone else wants to speak up to your thinking on the subject before you vote, this is the time. All right. Commissioner Caney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just noticing that the word preserve has been dropped out, and I guess I just would assume it's not necessary. It's decided that it's an area that's going to be protected. and you don't need that as a terminology. Okay.
Okay. One question I have, Craig, might as well ask it, since it stood out to me. We've heard from the public that there is a perception that there is a conservation issue associated with protection of GPO, meaning when we say, when we talk about things in terms of a conservation issue, we're talking about a threat to their a population abundance, you know, some sort of problem. We think that there might be a need for recovery when we talk about something being a conservation issue. So you've already stated pretty clearly that staff believe that there's no conservation issue here. These are not threatened, endangered. They're plentiful. They're abundant. They're healthy. You mentioned that, as far as we know, we estimate 50 pounds harvested each year. And that, and I was looking at the average size, 40 to 100 pounds, which would suggest one or two harvested a year. And that comes from our harvest management information. So can you explain a little bit more about how the staff have reached that conclusion that this is not a conservation issue?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So staff looked at the available information that we had relative to harvest data, looking historically both at commercial harvest as well as recreational harvest. And there was a there was some commercial harvest of these species in the, I believe, 70s and 80s. The poundage landed was significantly greater than the limited harvest that we're seeing now, incidentally, in a recreational fishery. Given the closure of both the directed fishery and most, if not all, of the commercial fisheries that had indirected harvest of these species, we feel that there's not an over-harvest occurring by these of these species, that the harvest is very, very low at this time, and there's no indication that there's any other factors, at least that we're seeing, that would cause these species to decline. Anecdotally, we see in the survey work that the Seattle Aquarium has done annually that we're continuing to see animals at the sites that they have been observed over the, I want to say, 8 to 9 years approximately. So all of those indications together would lead us to this conclusion.
I think that's helpful. Commissioner Smith?
Just a follow-up. On the commercial undertaking that was in the 70s, you said, what led to the cessation of that? And follow-up to that one, if there was and it stopped, what would prevent, other than, well, there, now you can't do it, I guess, the law, but would you see that specter arising again?
Commissioner Smith, so during that time period, that primarily octopus were sold as bycatch in commercial fisheries, primarily the trawl fisheries. Those fisheries have been closed for other conservation reasons, and so that bycatch harvest is no longer occurring. In, I believe it was 2000, the department closed the, there was a general pot fishery that could be used to harvest octopus. That fishery was closed because of concerns for people purchasing that license and then catching Dungeness crab and other resource. So in the directed pot fishery that was occurring, very low numbers of octopus were being harvested at that time. And so it wasn't relative to concerns for octopuses that those regulations were implemented.
Other comments, questions, points to make? I think we've heard from a number of commissioners that we are really interested in promoting dive tourism to the extent possible. I'm not sure that anyone's ever done any serious economic analysis of what the potential is there, but whatever the potential, it'd be a good thing to try to do. And do you envision having some marketing materials or effort devoted to bringing to the dive community's attention these new areas if we were to adopt these new rules?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the department does have a brochure that we've published that highlights popular dive sites in Puget Sound and describes what could be observed at those sites. I have had discussion with the dive industry about interest in promoting this type of activity. While we don't have specific plans, I think it is an area that we should look at and see what kind of opportunities there are to partner with the dive community to highlight this kind of activity in these areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hearing nothing else, I think we're ready for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.